Welcome back, friends. The seventh door, peacemaking as a divine vocation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9. As we open the seventh door of the kingdom, Jesus names not simply a virtue, but a vocation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The word called is decisive. From the Latin vocare, it signals a summons. Peacemaking is not a personality trait or a diplomatic skill. It is a calling into God's own work. Curtis Mitch and Edward Shree emphasize that in Matthew's gospel, peace is never understood as mere conflict avoidance. Drawing on the Hebrew concept of shalom, they explained that biblical peace signifies wholeness, right order, and restored communion with God, with others, and within oneself. The original
Yeah, read that
harmonies.
right order. Read that one more time. That was really good.
That's right. They explained that biblical peace signifies wholeness, right order, and restored communion with God, with others, and within oneself. The peacemakers are those who are actively seeking reconciliation where relationships have been fractured and harmony is lost. That's right. That's what I just said. Those are the original harmonies that were disrupted with the fall. Sorry about that. Yes. This is why Matthew links peacemaking directly to divine sonship. To be called sons of God is not honorary language. Mitch and Shree know that in Scripture, sonship implies likeness and participation. Those who bear the Father's name are those who act as He does. God is the one who reconciles, who restores, who makes peace between Himself and humanity. Peacemakers share in that mission. The commentary further situates this beatitude within the wider movement of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is forming disciples who do not merely obey commands, but who embody the Father's character in the world. Peacemaking, therefore, is not optional or secondary. It is one of the clearest signs that a disciple has begun to live as a child of the Father. Jacques Philippe helps us understand the interior demands of this calling. He insists that peace cannot be produced by control, avoidance, or the desire to manage outcomes. True peace flows from a heart that has surrendered to God's providence. Without interior peace, even our attempts at reconciliation become anxious and forceful. With it, God is free to act through us. This also explains why peacemaking is costly. Mitch and Shree point out that reconciliation often requires initiative, humility, and endurance. The peacemaker may have to absorb misunderstanding or refuse retaliation. In Matthew's gospel, this beatitude prepares the way for Jesus' command to love enemies and pray for persecutors. Peace in the kingdom is never passive. It is active, sacrificial, and rooted in truth. The Catechism confirms this realism when it teaches that peace is the fruit of justice and the effect of charity, paragraph 2304. It cannot be separated from right relationship with God. Those who pursue peace on God's term will inevitably share in both his work and his suffering. And yet the promise remains luminous. They shall be called sons of God. Those who walk through this door begin to resemble the Father, not in sentiment, but in action. They take their place within his reconciling love for the world.
Yeah, that's a hard one in the world today.
Very hard, very, very hard.
Because it has to do with justice, right? And the right ordering of the world, but the interior, it was, that's why I wanted you to repeat that, what you had said before, because there's an element of that that I think is often passed over when it comes to peacemaking, that peacemaking demands that justice, there is no peace without justice, and we all know that, right? But justice is what is due to God and what is due to your neighbor, right? And what people make a mockery of justice by demanding what they don't deserve. And that becomes a real problem because it's you can't create a peaceful society without authentic justice. And what we have going on right now is a masquerade of justice, right? It's a mockery of justice. And what oftentimes ends up happening is that people settle for appeasement because they don't want to discipline the people who have a wrong sense of justice.
That's right. I use that term quite clearly here, was appeasement. And that is Fulton Sheen, what says, what is it? Compassion for the guilty is cruelty for the
Yep.
innocent. It
Right.
makes a mockery of their thinking.
Right.
So we're nobody's talking about any of that sort of thing here.
No.
It's putting it though, what as a calling into God's own work, to
Right,
God's own
absolutely.
vocare.
Right. Yeah, God calls us to this. I just think that people often think that an absence of violence or an absence of contention is the definition of peace. But that is not necessarily the case if getting to peace, like you think about being a mother in a home, let's take it out of the macro world and put it back into the micro world. When you have a situation where there is a lack of justice, meaning that an older brother whacked a younger brother, or a younger brother whacked an older brother, right? So that you have a disorder, right? Things of the hierarchy has shifted. Sometimes peace is reestablished with the authority of a person who has the correct authority to reestablish justice, right? So I think that this is an issue within the church right now, where there is a real problem of what it means to establish justice, what it means to turn the other cheek. How does one establish the goals of peace? Too many times in the church, appeasement has taken the status the seat upon which peace is supposed to sit, and we've become complacent. I think people who have the authority to correct don't want to; they would rather simply buy silence. Right? Does that make sense? I don't know.
It does. It does. They would like to avoid.
Well, they think that avoidance of contention is peace.
Yes. So Jacques Philippe, he insists that peace cannot be produced
Right.
by control, avoidance, or the desire to manage outcomes. Avoidance, control, and desire to manage outcomes. True peace flows from a heart that has surrendered to God's providence. That's the peacemaking we're talking about. We're not talking about appeasement at any peace at any price. That's another little phrase.
Right.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and really, Jacques Philippe is really, he's not speaking about a macro world order peace, right? I mean, he
No.
really is talking about the peace that is in your soul, right? The more peaceable that you are, the more that your soul is well ordered, you will become a peace bringer, because when you are rightly ordered within yourself, you will become a natural beacon, right? People will come to you and they will say, "Why are you so calm in the storm?" Right? "Why are you so calm?" And we don't have to try and solve the whole crisis in the world. We ourselves can rightly order our own life, and that life within us. What is the end of this beatitude? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for..."
For they shall be called vocari, called sons of God.
Right. And I think that I think that individual people who live that life of a rightly ordered interior spiritual life are a natural beacon, right? We do become a light.
Oh,
And
absolutely. Of.
it gives people an opportunity who don't live that life to say, what, why are you so calm? At which point you now have that opportunity of Paul or Christ who says, always be prepared to give a reason for your joy, right? Be ready at any moment. And you can say, because I'm a child of God.
That's right. That
Justice
is right.
is with justice, the kingdom is within me.
That's right. So, as this door closes, peace has been chosen, but its cost is now visible. The final door will open onto perseverance, where those who live as children of God must learn to endure opposition for the sake of the kingdom.
Right.
Till the next time, my friends. Fides Adracha.